Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
What's up, Star Wars news fam? We are so glad to be back on the ship. I'm Steph Sabra, aka Chewbacca's long-lost daughter. I have my co-pilot next to me, Ryan Nilsson, the head of Popcorn Talk.
Thank you, Rylo Ren, aka. And yes, our intro, that describes the week, really, because it's been just a hectic couple of days and a busy news day for Star Wars.
Yeah, I just chugged an entire cold brew, so let's get freaky with
it. And I got tea and coffee.
Heck yes. Caffeinated. I hope you're all caffeinated at home. Thanks for joining us. Make sure to hit that like button and always leave us a comment after this video is done. But be chatting it up. Brian is manning the chat. But news just broke about Taika Waititi getting courted to possibly be involved in a next Star Wars movie. On top of that, the big talk of the week is obviously Trevorrow's script being released to the public, and massive differences and a lot of speculation and opinions all around that. And on top of that, other fun things going on. John Boyega is the biggest troll, like the best troll ever.
Trolls
cannot beat him. Stop coming for him.
Mark Hamill's out of Facebook.
He's breaking up with Facebook. I wish it wasn't extensive folder of all my photos and experiences in my life, or else I would burn it to the ground. I hate Facebook.
I know. So, yeah, we have got an internet troll in the Star Wars universe. We got Facebook quitters. but we're going to see if we can poke a few stories here.
Okay.
And break it all down. Let's break it all down.
Talk about Trevorrow's script. So a lot of the headlines were like, and it was actually good, and it was so much better. All of this really interesting stuff. I know Ryan texted me freaking out about it.
All caps.
Because there was some massive differences. I think most importantly in terms of what happened was the entire Palpatine.
Yes. I mean, there's a ton to break down here, Steph. Yeah. First off, just coming at, you know, from a filmmaking perspective, we're in the industry, it's not a big deal, but it's never great. It sucks if something that you worked on but didn't finish, didn't publish, gets leaked. Leaks are not great. It's an ugly side of the industry, because something you worked on that you were not ready to present is being viewed, judged, and compared to other work out there. So I think that there's a big asterisk with this entire topic, which just like, hey, this is an alleged story. You know, Robert Meyer Burnett got his hands on apparently an alleged draft of Colin Trevorrow's script with Derek Connolly back from 2016. And he read a summary. He summarized it in a YouTube video. It was like over 2.5 hours long. And yeah, we'll speculate some stuff on it, because all signs are pointing that, yeah, this probably was a draft. And hey, this might not have been the finished product. This was before Carrie Fisher even passed away. So there's just a lot of details to be aware of before, you know, diving deep into this. But we're going to have some fun, because it's a script. It's not like a leaked film. It's a script.
It's one of those things where I think if you have the honor of doing a film involved in this franchise, it comes with a heavy price of the criticism and the leaks. A lot of these leaks have been posted to Reddit for months, and they are the same storyline that was on Reddit. So there's a lot of similarities that are kind of proving in the direction that it is legit.
But right.
Again, let's just get right into it. So I'll go in your order. Ryan wrote his first order, Rose in the and she has a way bigger role.
Yo.
Obviously, she had, I think, about less than 2 minutes of screen time in Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, you didn't think she had a big role in Rise of Skywalker? I thought she was in, like, the whole movie.
Leia had her on a really important task.
That's right. She was cleaning a filing cabinet.
But, okay, at first, I came at Ryan, like, that was the part. I liked a lot of the additions of the script, or of this version of the script. And the one part that I didn't love, because I did love it in the actual movie, was Finn being back with the squad. I hated his separation.
Right.
And this is kind of how it would have been in this movie as well. But I do like the character arc of Rose.
Yeah. If you haven't watched this video, if you haven't read this synopsis of this draft of what would have been Trevorrow's script, I think there's a lot of cool things in here. That was kind of my takeaway. It's different. It's a lot different from Rise of Skywalker. It was going in a lot of different directions. a few things to just go off over. Yeah, starting with Rose. Rose had a bigger role in episode 9 here. And, you know, this draft was before Last Jedi came out, before there was some critical reception towards everything around that character. So it
we love you, Kelly Marie Tran.
We love Kelly Marie Tran. But she would have had a much bigger role in this movie. She would have been a part of that crew. Maybe like the fourth person in that Finn, Rose, Poe group. So that's one thing to note. Kylo's arc, pretty similar to what we got in Rise of Skywalker. But, you know, in the beginning of Rise of Skywalker, he's on Mustafar.
And everyone loved that. I love that intro. Kylo. So, and on top of that, the crawl is completely different. But it would have spent time on the intro part we got of Kylo. Right. I would have loved to see that. Because I just feel like that was so his character. Yeah. And then he kind of veered into a different path.
Well, let's talk about the crawl. Because, you know, the crawl is the first thing you see in any Star Wars movie. This one's title, Duel of the Fates. Awesome title, based off of that song in Phantom Menace. I love this title. I love this title, yeah. And most Star Wars titles are kind of goofy, like, they're a little straightforward. Empire Strikes Back, Attack of the Clones. Duel of Fates, you know, I really like it. It kind of ties in some stuff from the prequels. But in this crawl, it basically sets up that the First Order is jamming communications across the whole galaxy. Really cool premise, I feel. That's an awesome obstacle for our characters to try to overcome.
And it's not far-fetched. That's a smart plan.
There's no the death speak. There's no...
The dead speak.
You're right. Sorry. Dead speak. There's no mention, really, of the Emperor. It's all, like, the, you know, Supreme Leader Kylo Ren taking over, jamming communications, and here are our heroes, and it opened with an action scene. I think that's a fun premise. And, you know, and that kind of goes to show this movie connected a lot of the other movies than Rise of Skywalker did. Would you have liked that? Did you feel that the Rise of Skywalker was kind of lacking in connecting all the other films?
I think if Rise of Skywalker had a part one and part two and did two films, it could have told the same story and with the ideas it was based on. But I think it was so fast that it felt like it lost some connection with the other films.
Right.
But I still do... I did love Kylo in this last movie, but I think it would have been really cool to focus on a person who's not... he's done really, really awful stuff, but you kind of knew he was going into a direction where he still had humanity in him, and having a conflicted villain and follow that story, yeah. I love.
Yeah, and just going on it more of his arc in this script, if you watch that video, he goes on to say... Kylo, on Mustafar, you got to see Vader's palace in the background, which you saw in Rogue One, which is awesome. Like, I want that palace. And he stumbled upon, this was the only mention of the Emperor, he stumbled upon a Sith holocron in this draft where the Emperor sent a message to Vader back from, like, Return of the Jedi. And he watches the whole message, and that's the only appearance of the Emperor in this draft. And then when they realize that it's not Vader watching the message, the holocron shoots some kind of, like, Sith lightning power on his face, and he has this pain. And again, the script is just so fascinating because it goes on to say that Rey was feeling all the pain that Kylo Ren was feeling.
Yeah,
she even has nightmares at night because of that connection that they shared. Mm-hmm. It really feels like this draft was a lot more character driven than the one we got.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's interesting to kind of deliberate on.
It is. I just wish it wasn't released because I've seen all the opinions and most of them are kind of just upset that this isn't the film that they got, and that makes me sad. And that sucks.
It really sucks. And it's really unfortunate that we have to compare that because for all we know, hey, some things on the written page are great in the written page, and when they're on screen, they don't translate well. I have to imagine when George Lucas was making the prequels and everyone on board wasn't really raising any red flags, but then when you see that dialogue on screen, when you see the actors being directed the way they were, it didn't really pan out. So for all we know, this could have been not the best movie, and that's why they decided to change gears, or it could have been awesome. Quick shout out in the chat, Brandon Hannah saying, I really love this leaked script, however, it's severely lacking Babu Frick, which is not okay. True. Babu Frick.
Oh my gosh. Let's talk about Babu Frick.
Hard to imagine a movie without him.
Everyone loved him. I'm so glad that was a universally accepted character. a lot of people argue it was the best scene of the film, and it's funny because Disney just released that entire scene. So there's a really funny article out right now that says that the only scene that matters is now available.
He is so a highlight, and I do think that one thing about Chavara, like if they didn't have Babu Frick, I feel like that's just something we didn't know we needed. He is one of those characters, like one of those cute mechanical droid builders that we never knew we needed.
Yeah, I really needed him. I would love a Babu next to a Baby Yoda plush.
Yeah.
Like plush figure.
There's one more thing, Steph, I just want to mention before we,
completely
leave the Trevorrow script. It sounds like they were going to tie in a lot more other things with the movies. They were going to go back to Coruscant, which was in the prequels. They were going to tie in the Old Republic with this communication tower, which sounds really awesome. And it just kind of makes you question, like, why did they move away from this? What was that outstanding thing, that outstanding element in the creative process that made Kathleen Kennedy and Lucasfilm and Disney kind of, like, move away from Trevorrow? And, I mean, it's unfortunate because we'll never know. And I almost feel like this script leaking kind of makes Trevorrow look really good in all this.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a filmmaker whose past two movies haven't been the biggest hits.
Yeah, I think it's a total win for him. Yeah. I just think it puts him in a really compromising position. Because if I'm JJ, I'm wondering why it got leaked.
Can you email this out?
You wanted people to see your work, bro.
Yo!
I think that's what happened.
Can I ask you a quick question before you move on?
Oh, yes.
Jeff Graham. The biggest Star Wars... Oh, wait.
Not a Star Wars.
Huge pop culture junkie. Love the entertainment industry. Not the biggest fan of Star Wars. It's not that I dislike it. It's just I'm no Stephen Ryan. But you
read scripts for your first few years in LA, right, Jeff?
I did, yeah. Script coverage was how I got my start out here. So it's interesting for me to kind of be tracking with this story because I read a ton of undeveloped scripts and a ton of scripts that did get developed and made. What do you feel like is the studio's biggest lesson here? Like, what do you think, if I am a Disney development exec working with the Star Wars franchise, what should I be doing differently, or how should I be reacting to this leak?
I think it's what we've been saying ever since the movie came out, even before the leak, which is it didn't seem like they had a fully fleshed out plan or that they rerouted the plan. I think maybe the lesson is to stick to your guns, stick to your plan, no matter the hate, because I feel like you're not going to satisfy everyone. What do you think, Steph?
I think if you're asking for this specific movie, it is what it is. I think moving forward, though, they should really go in an MCU direction and be really planned out with what they're doing and making sure that, because they're not like other people where they have to plan just in case they don't get another movie. They can make as money as they want, so might as well plan them out so they all can coincide and exist together.
It's a great point. And I feel like even Star Wars, before the MCU became a thing, was kind of doing that with their books and a few of their TV shows. Mm-hmm. And they kind of had to hit the reset button on a few of their books. But they really do need to take a note out of the MCU's book and with their movies, because this episode 9, they got rid of the director, they got rid of this story, and they brought JJ back to go a completely another direction. And It was a very studio film. So I think that lesson could be, studios don't make the most compelling stories, but they do have the ability to find great storytellers to make the compelling stories.
I think that's important, Ryan. This one last thing I'll say is my complaint with some franchise storytelling is, with the new Star Wars, there is an element of almost overly vehement and reverent fan service, where it's like it did kind of pull away from a well-told story. And from what I've gathered, Trevorrow's script is more story-driven, more character-driven, a little more contained. Sometimes all you want when you go see a movie is a really well-told story and a singular contained film that does focus on character. We don't need to have every single moment of fan service answered if the film's amazing.
It's a really good point. And I think that comes down to like the studio trusting their directors or not. But even the MCU has had problems with directors in the past. Like, they got rid of Edgar Wright for Ant-Man because they knew it wouldn't fall in line. And it ended up being, like, a good decision.
I love Ant-Man.
I know, he's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's always a time and a place to go in different directions, pun intended. But I do think that it seemed a little disorganized for something that has millions and millions of dollars into it. So
true.
Anyways, let's talk about kind of the person of the year already, Taika Waititi.
Taika!
It's been said from Hollywood Reporter exclusive that he is being courted for a Star Wars movie, which is kind of what a lot of fans thought, especially after The Mandalorian. Not only was he the best nurse droid ever, possibly one of the best droids ever.
Yes.
But he also directed the epic finale of The Mandalorian season one. So I feel like this is such this his type of style is the direction I want to see Star Wars movies in.
Yes. Agreed.
Awesome.
And you know what does courted mean? We were talking about this before the show.
I want to be courted.
Does that mean they're gonna marry him? Like, what?
I think it's romantic.
I think it's a little romantic.
And I don't blame them.
I'm all right with that.
Yeah, me too.
And I really do think that Disney Lucasfilm needs to get down on one knee and propose, because Taika crushed that role as IG-11 and directing that finale. He really brought it all. It culminated to something magnificent, and he knocked it out of the park. The tone was awesome.
He has the Midas touch right now.
Yeah.
Everything he's doing,
it's gold.
Rocks.
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 Literally. They put rock songs in Thor Ragnarok. I would love to see a movie that's just its own thing. Not necessarily even like a spin-off movie. There were talks of, you know, new saga films. And it's unrelated to the Skywalker saga, but still in this world, new batch of characters. Give him a blank check.
Yeah, I want him to, I feel like he could do a Lando film justice, but I also think that I want him to just create something new for them, which is what the direction they're moving in. But whatever he's doing is the style that people really are receiving well.
Right.
So I'm fully for it.
I'm so buying it.
But the article was...
It's
vague. I hate when they do this. They give one line in the title, and then you read it, and it's a bio of Taika. And
it's like, this is who he is. He's a guy, and he's alive, and he's made things, and he's in talks. He's courted. He's been approached.
Jojo Rabbit.
He's been eyed.
Yeah.
Like, we know.
I know.
That's all they have.
Do you guys want to see Baby Yoda on the silver screen?
Scared the hell out of me, Jeff.
Sorry, Ryan.
Scared the hell out of me.
Do you guys want to see Baby Yoda on the big screen?
Yes.
I might need to see him to calm down right now.
I wonder if Taika could... I wonder if they're going to try to leverage the success of Mando for theatrical.
I wonder, man.
What do you mean for theatrical?
Well, like, I've heard rumors of a Baby Yoda film probably for the service. This was on an NPR podcast.
Would it be no Teen way. Yoda or yeah. would it be Baby Yoda?
Just a way
Teen
to extend.
Ninja Yoda.
I think the idea is a way to extend the obsession and obviously the cultural zeitgeist around Baby Yoda.
Oh, I would be so upset if they did that.
I'm in. Super Baby Yoda genius? No. Yes?
Well, if you want to make it a cartoon and you clone a bunch of Baby Yodas and there's a little daycare, yeah, sure. But if you want a serious film and you ever put Baby Yoda as the star of the entire film, you're just stealing people's money.
You're stealing it.
Oh, my God. I'd be so annoyed if they did that.
I'd watch anything. Baby Yoda can't do any wrong for
me
right now.
I only want to have a child if it looks, acts, and talks like Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
But I don't want a feature film of him.
Really? As him, okay, as the lead, yes, of course. As the lead, it'd be a lot of like goo goo gaga move things. It'd be kind of funny though if he's just wreaking havoc. I want a Children of Men style Baby Yoda. Like he is, everyone is just like putting all the guns down just to save this thing and raise it. That's what I want. He wouldn't be the lead in that scenario though.
Whatever, maybe pitch yourself to write it.
Okay, but yeah, I'm so excited about Taika, and whether he's being courted or not, they need to propose.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I just don't think... I think the entire Mandalorian director's crew could take the lead on the next films. Deborah Chow in particular. I love her.
D. Chow, you know, she's getting Kenobi. So yeah. they are moving forward with her, and I think they're learning which is what... direction to go in. Now that Rise of Skywalker is come and gone, they've made a billion. I think they got all that out of the system and they can just kind of start making more original stuff.
Yeah, agreed. Jeff, do you have the video of John Boyega and when he's just
trolling
the hardest?
He's become a massive... He's embraced the anger of being an internet
his
troll.
His videos are edited so well. Like, yeah. I love his videos. I think this is so funny. But it's interesting because earlier, a few months ago, he had made comments that got a lot of heat for kind of talking about Kelly Marie Tran. And
yeah.
He didn't mean to... I don't think, because I think they're homies, but he basically said, if you can't handle it, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, and he backpedaled.
But he backpedaled, he apologized, but it's just kind of ironic because he too has faced a ton of racial BS and hate and Raylo hate. I hate that. The people who stan Raylo that hard, that's crazy, you guys.
Yeah.
That you don't like John Boyega because of that.
Steph's very passionate about this.
I am. I love John Boyega. Here.
Okay. Oh, we got the vid.
Can
we got
play the vid?
This is his latest post. Wow.
Nope.
Literally.
Icon.
Wow.
That this is epic. The
driving on them. Like, he hired someone to do this.
Icon. People were a little upset.
I got that out of my system.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. People were a little mad because he didn't blur out the people's names.
Right. He was taking no prisoners.
Yeah, I get that. It's kind of a responsibility of his, but it's also like you hopped on his page and decided to be a dick.
He's calling you out.
Yeah.
Calling all of them out and just like owning it, which I like this a lot. And I know you just said you did too, but I'm super into this because I think it's necessarily not ignoring the hate, but he's like facing it straight on.
He has,
in a funny way.
Yeah, he has such a good. Some people can't handle it, and that's totally prerogative, and I get that. But it would be a nice life to be him and be able to handle it like that,
right?
And understand that. Those people don't really know shit.
Yeah, they don't know anything. Like, and I think it's just so funny to think of John Boyega like getting an editor to do this and like, hey, find screenshot all these tweets.
I don't know. He might edit his own videos.
He might if he did.
Posts a lot of videos like this.
It's really good. It's
I don't know.
Really
maybe
fun.
He did. I would.
I love it, and I love it. It's all of him on these talk shows dancing. Like, I wonder if he danced on all these talk shows just to be able to cut some sizzle like that. It's
cool.
I'm
gonna start thinking ahead like that. I need to know what kind of B-roll I need.
We should do that with our comments.
Yeah. All right.
It's just us.
All right. Let's talk about another social media page. Mark. Luke Skywalker himself. He is so funny on social media.
He's great.
Because he's Luke Skywalker. He can say whatever he wants.
His Instagram is hysterical. Yeah. Mark Hamill's always been awesome.
So he tweeted and Instagrammed the whole thing. He said, so disappointed that Mark Zuckerberg values profit more than truthfulness. In that, I've decided to delete my Facebook account, tagged Facebook, shady.
At Facebook.
I know this is a big who cares for the world at large, but I'll sleep better at night. Patriotism over profit.
Whoa. And, I mean, this is very consistent with Mark Hamill's social media presence. He's always been vocal about everything, whether it's politics or clothing, anything. He is super vocal about how he feels. And this is just consistent with that. And I think it's unique that it's another person in this Star Wars franchise who, you know, he doesn't care. He's just going to voice his opinion. And I think I respect that he would be able to call out Facebook like that.
I'm just so happy that his real life persona identifies a lot with the values of his fictional
persona.
About
the rebellion.
It is so sad when you have someone who played something heroic, like Mel Gibson, and then it's like, what
oh boy. It's like, yikes. Freedom?
You literally fought for freedom, and now you're being an anti-Semitic.
Are you a patriot? Okay.
Anywho. Some good news. The Rise of Skywalker became Disney's seventh $7 billion hit of 2019.
Cha-ching. Cha-ching.
It's crazy.
That's nuts. And that's just Disney in general there. I think it goes to show, you know, they purchased Lucasfilm for $4 billion way back when. And whether they're making that money back just from Star Wars, they're making bank regardless. $7 billion.
They're making bank. Do you know what they're doing with Galaxy's Edge now?
They're adding a ride, right?
And they're trying to have a hotel.
A hotel?
So it's a full-on. I have the article here. It's a full-on Star Wars experience.
Whoa.
Yeah, like you can participate in like fights and action,
oh my
or
God.
You can chill But yeah, in a cantina, it's fully immersive.
And it's a hotel.
Yeah, that's what the plan is right now.
Oh my
now.
God, what if one of the rooms was like Anakin and Padme's room from Attack of the Clones and like slugs come through the window and they have to kill? That'd be crazy.
It's from Fortune. I'll put the article below. But it's speaking of what Disney is planning to roll out now that they kind of have a little bit more freedom with the Star Wars stories and they're going to move in a broader direction. Mm. And it's all of it from movies. There's speculation on the movies, TV. Obviously, we know of Mando and the Obi-Wan series.
Kenobi, yeah.
So that, and then the games, obviously, video games. But the coolest part that I thought was the Galaxy's Edge.
Well, interestingly enough, on one of our other shows on this network, the Con Guys, one of them went to the Galaxy's Edge in Florida over the winter break. And there's a bunch more rides there because they just added a little bit more to the Disney World Galaxy's Edge as opposed to the Disneyland. Although Disneyland's getting some stuff. And they were just saying, like, yeah, there's so many more rides. It's so immersive. Everything's to scale. So, like, there's AT-ATs that are the size of the AT-ATs in the movies. Like, I just think that is such a no-brainer, putting it in a theme park, because it is another world. And what could be more transportive?
The hotel article is a separate one, but this one talks about that game.
Wow.
I mean, that game. That ride. Which is so... We have to go build our sabers.
We gotta vlog it.
Yeah.
We gotta vlog it.
Yeah.
That's gonna be awesome.
I need a lightsaber. Someone's like, you would spend that money? I'm like...
Yeah.
Someone will.
And I mean, it's not necessarily Harry Potter where the wand chooses the wizard. We choose the lightsaber.
Yeah, what?
We choose it.
What kind of question is that?
I know.
It's like crazy.
I'm so down and I cannot wait to go.
Me too.
What else we got, Steph?
We have, this one's fun. There's speculation on what Chewie said to Rey when she got in, back in the Millennium Falcon. And I love this part. I'm going to read the quote for you all.
The quote is great.
It's from slashfilm.com.
And this is right. This is in Rise of Skywalker after the opening mission with Poe and Finn. They land and Rey just got trained and they're like
and
fighting.
And we hear Rey say it is. And we don't know what Chewie said. But the man who plays Chewie himself says, I think Chewbacca is saying something like, it's good that you're back in the Falcon because Poe has been damaging the Falcon with his reckless shifty flying. So I think it's a small jab at Poe at that point.
Wow.
That's
awesome.
Cute.
It's so fascinating that he's a character we've never gotten subtitles for Chewbacca.
I know.
Ever. And we've gotten them for other characters. But he's the one that's just like...
Do you think in the scripts he has lines written? Or emotions?
I know for the droids that has been the case. Like, I think R2 has been given lines. And because that's how Anthony Daniels for C-3PO like responds. I don't think so. I don't think Chewbacca's ever been given lines. It's just a roar, which I think it's really creative because it leaves a lot of it up to interpretation. But the fact that the actor is saying that is awesome.
Yeah, but they have to know what he's saying.
Right. They got to have an idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Okay.
I think that's really awesome. I love... I mean, Chewbacca's just always been that amazing character. Like, we all love Chewbacca. And ever since Peter Mayhew tragically passed away,
I just think
like they've been doing an awesome job keeping Chewbacca alive and around. Like, it would have been very easy, like a bunch of other characters, to kind of just put him to the side. But no, they kept him alive and well.
If Chewie died, that was the moment I started crying the first time I saw Rise of Skywalker, and I didn't stop until the end.
Oh yeah, I mean, I infamously turned to you and went, "Are you kidding me?" When the lightning bolt exploded the ship he was on, I was like, did that just happen?
If he actually died in that brutal of a way, that would be insane.
I know, but he must have been on another starship or transport. He must have been on another transport.
Right.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Oh my gosh. Okay, moving on to our last story. I know Ryan's really excited about this. I'm getting really excited about it as I am beginning my Clone Wars journey.
Mm.
The new season is amongst
us. The new season is coming out. We're a month away, people. A month away. February 17th, season 7 of The Clone Wars is dropping on Disney Plus. And we're going to get a ton more answered. I was having a conversation with a few other hosts here. Just about, you know, what are we looking forward to in season 7? Like, is it just going to be closure? I don't know if there are any Star Wars Clone Wars fans. Sound off in the chat if you are. But, you know, a lot of the questions that were unanswered were kind of answered in the other series, Clone Rebels, or in The Mandalorian. And I just became aware. Steph Sabraw.
If you were to pick...
I just became aware, Steph Sabraw, that there is a Ahsoka Tano novel.
Oh, yeah. He did.
And that apparently is alluding to a lot of what might be covered in this last season of The Clone Wars. So just one brief aside, one brief thing. One thing I'm really excited about. If you love The Mandalorian, they keep talking about throughout that entire show that there was this great siege. There was this great big battle that happened on the planet of Mandalore. And that's why all the Mandalorians are hiding underground. That's why they don't take off their helmets anymore, because that wasn't always the case. Apparently, in this season of Clone Wars, we are going to see what happened on Mandalore. And Ahsoka Tano, we have the image up right now, is going to be heavily involved. Steph, I couldn't be more excited. I could not be more excited.
She makes me question... like, if it's normal to acknowledge that she's so hot as a cartoon character.
It's no not a comment. Question.
She is, stunning. Right? Yeah, she's a stunning Jedi.
Oh my God, Brandon Hannah in the chat. They do show the second transport in the movie. For a second, okay? Where were the other seconds? They must have been on another transport. But yes, she is. She is beautiful. She is gorgeous.
I'm really excited for this new season, and I know that there are a lot of people who haven't watched Clone Wars because the beginning was kind of weird of it. It was on Cartoon Network, like you were saying.
Right.
But I want to ask you why should someone watch it? What's your pitch?
Here's the pitch. Oh, yeah. Bring the vest out.
Wow.
The thing is, the Clone Wars, before the series, there was a movie that was theatrically released and it wasn't well received. And full disclosure, I don't love the movie. The movie's not good. It's like, it's kind of random, and it feels like there was a show and you just kind of were plopped in the middle of it. And that's because this movie actually takes place in the middle of the show. The timeline is confusing, as always with Star Wars. And my big pitch for this show is this series makes that relationship between Anakin Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi the relationship you always wish they had, that you didn't necessarily get in those movies, in the prequels. That the relationship that Obi-Wan in A New Hope alludes to. He was like a great fighter and a good friend. You know, we never really saw that in those movies. This series shows that. This series retroactively makes the prequels better. It adds more weight to the characters. And it adds a ton of lore. A lot of the stuff that The Mandalorian, the show, built off of was Dave Filoni's idea when he made The Clone Wars. And there's just so many awesome storylines. They bring back Darth Maul. Darth Maul was, you know, cut in half.
People love...
They bring him back. It is dope.
Yeah.
I highly recommend you watch it. Although I will say, there are a lot of episodes you can straight up skip. And I'm planning on this weekend to write an article kind of breaking down, like, these are the ones you should watch or prioritize, and then you can skip these. I think that's something that a lot of people would benefit from because it's 6 seasons.
Yeah,
it's a lot of TV.
You should definitely do that.
So I'll do that, but I highly recommend watching it. I think Ahsoka Tano is an incredible character in this show and one of my favorite characters in Star Wars. It's, if you're a Star Wars fan and you just want more, 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 you're sad that The Mandalorian's over, you're sad that the movies aren't really coming out right now, this is the show you got to watch. That's the pitch.
Wow, Rye. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I want to shout out Srivastava. They said, well, first they were saying The Mandalorian is average. I disagree.
Respectfully disagree.
But I love that you're giving an opinion. Then they said, Watchmen elevated TV for me, the snow cap. I agree. Watchmen's a great show.
Agree, and then we disagree.
Jennifer Lopez, what's up in the chat? Eon 001. Thank you, Ivan Soto. Thanks for rocking with
us. Shout out to Ivan Soto here each and every week.
Yeah, we love it. Absolutely love it. Hit that like button. As always, leave us a comment after. Ryan, do you have anything else for this week?
I mean, I think the last thing is we're at this point where, you know, I think Rise of Skywalker, it's been out for almost a month. It's going to be out of theaters soon, so there's going to be a period where we're not going to have many Star Wars things coming out. But I will say, like, go back. You have Disney Plus. There's two awesome series on there with Clone Wars and Rebels. Check them out. There's some awesome books to check out. And I really do feel like there's a lot cooking in the Disney metaphorical oven for Star Wars. And I just cannot wait to see what's on the horizon. I could not be more excited about Taika Waititi being in more Star Wars.
Me
like,
too.
They just have, it feels like they're getting a new creative team involved, and I couldn't be more excited.
Me too.
How about you, Steph Sabra? What do you got going on in the world of Star Wars?
In the world of Star Wars, I'm just sitting back.
In the galaxy.
Watching it all unfold, trying not to be judgmental. You know, living life large.
You know?
You know. Okay, everyone, thank you for joining us. We'll be back next Thursday as always. But until then, Ryan, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Ryan Nilsen _NILSEN and on Twitter at Rye Nilsen. Steph, where can people find you?
Quick thing from Yash again. Great point. He says that you like Taika, but Rick Famuyiwa deserves a Star Wars film. I don't disagree. I think they both do. And Deborah Chow. I would love all three of them to be involved in the next film.
Honestly, all the directors from Mandalorian were just
so good.
Really inspired picks. So completely good. Agree.
I'm Steph Sabra. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Steph Sabra. That's SABRAW. Until then, may the Force be with you.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.